The Bob Siegel Show is brought to you in part by Web Studio, Primetime Advertising Corporation, and the Law Office of Thomas Pinkerton. The views and opinions are solely those of the host and guests and do not necessarily represent KCBQ or its sponsors. It's time now for the Bob Siegel Show, a religious open forum where all questions are welcome. And now, here's your host, Christian apologist, Bob Siegel.
And this is Bob Siegel. So, you'd like to believe in God, but whenever you talk with Christians, they can't seem to answer any of your questions. Well, if that's your concern, then welcome. Welcome to our sanctuary, a sanctuary for skeptics and doubters. You can phone in your questions or send them over the internet, questions@bobsiegel.net. That's questions@bobsiegel.net. And just to show you I'm not merely blowing smoke, let's take a question or two right now. This is from Alex, writing us all the way from the United Kingdom. I've always wanted to go there. I love England. I love Ireland. I love everything about that United Kingdom. But anyway, Alex says, thanks for answering previous questions, Bob, but I have some more. I was recently arguing with a friend of mine. He was an atheist and asked some questions that were hard to answer. Here they are. Now, actually, Alex lists a bunch here, and I'm going to do one today. I'll try to do the rest of them next week, but for today, there are a couple of other questions and comments I need to get to. Anyway, here is one of Alex's many questions. He says, why is there no evidence of Jesus existing except for the Bible? Shouldn't there be more evidence like there is for other things that have happened in the past? That's a very good question, Alex. In fact, all your questions are good. There are actually quite a few references to Jesus outside of the Bible, from ancient historians and other writers who lived close to the time of Jesus, including the Jewish historian Josephus and the Roman historian Tacitus, neither of whom were Christians. Josephus even reports that Jesus rose from the dead. Now, on my website, bobsiegel.net, if you go into the section called Answers for Skeptics, you will find an article about the testimony of Jesus from history outside of the New Testament. I will get to all of your other questions next week, Alex. Thanks for writing. This next one is from Lisa in Irvine. She says, Bob, what is your interpretation of Matthew 11:12? Is it for today? That's always an interesting question because sometimes we don't know if a prophecy is for today or if something that took place in the biblical days. And I think she meant to include verses 13 through 15 with that. I'm not sure because I can't read her mind. But let me read the entire passage that I believe Lisa's asking about. She says, from the days of John the Baptist until now, the kingdom of heaven suffers violence, and violent men take it by force. For all the prophets and the law prophesied until John, and if you are willing to accept it, John himself is Elijah, who was to come. He who has ears to hear, let him hear. That was one of the prophecies that before the coming of the Messiah, Elijah would come. Since Jesus is having a first and second coming, people are wondering if Elijah is going to kind of have a second coming before Jesus. You'll recall that Elijah was brought up into heaven without even actually experiencing death. So there was all kinds of Jewish expectation about Elijah. In fact, if you do a Jewish Passover to this day, an Orthodox Passover, they have a cup called the Cup of Elijah in case Elijah shows up in the middle of the Passover to announce that the Messiah is going to come. Now, again, Lisa, I may need more detail to understand what you are asking, but from this one passage, I'd say no. Not for today. This was a reference to John the Baptist, obviously. However, it is possible in biblical Hebrew prophecy to have multiple fulfillment. So there may be another return of Elijah, but at the moment, Jesus was showing that John the Baptist was kind of an Elijah the second, somebody similar to Elijah, somebody with a ministry likened to Elijah, not any reincarnation. I want to make that very clear. The Bible is clear that there's no such thing as reincarnation. But some people go, well, what about John the Baptist being Elijah? No, he was not Elijah reincarnated. John the Baptist was an Elijah the second. And we could prove that. If it's the prophecy about John early in the book of Luke, it says, he will go forth in the spirit and power of Elijah. That's Luke 1:17. The Holy Spirit gifted Elijah in a very specific way, and his disciple Elisha, very similar name but different person, asked, you might recall, for that same spiritual gift, and evidently this same manifestation of the Holy Spirit was given to John the Baptist as well. You are listening to the Bob Siegel Show. Coming up, film critic Mark Boobium will be joining us to make some theater and video suggestions. Now, Mark did join me when I hosted the Rick Amata Show a few weeks ago. If you heard that program, this will be a different set of movies, so hang on. Mark will be joining us during segment two of the program. Our theme, Christianity and its relationship to politics and pop culture. Lots of political news going on right now, which I've postponed getting to these last couple of weeks due to the billboard controversy, which has taken on a life of its own. I will catch up on politics next week. Next week, I'll also continue our ongoing series about salvation, exactly what it means to make Christ your Lord and Savior. We've done a lot of that, but there's still a little more to add to it, some new dimensions and understandings. Meanwhile, you may recall that on last Sunday's program, I read you a blog from a guy named Dan on a website called Relatively Unrelated. He took issue with some comments I made for the San Diego Union-Tribune regarding the atheist billboard. I had made some comments that the billboard didn't offend me, but then I mentioned that I saw a double standard because atheists, you know, they just go ballistic when they see a cross or a manger scene. So this guy offered to me, I mean, he was writing it on his blog, but he was referring to me by name. He offered a lecture on tax issues, the difference between public and private property, separation between church and state. Well, I won't reread as much of it as I did last week, but here is an excerpt just to give our further conversation some continuity. Wait, what? Does Bob actually think those two things are equivalent? Does he not comprehend the difference between private property and public property? Does he not see the difference between private individuals leasing space or a privately owned billboard and a state or municipality putting up a religious display? People make mistakes. People misunderstand things. I'll give Bob the benefit of the doubt and simply assume that he doesn't understand the difference because it hasn't been properly explained to him. As for the rest of you, your free pass has been canceled. I just pointed it out to you so you don't have any excuse. Please remember this as the winter holiday season continues. Well, let me now reread to you a comment that I posted on his blog in response. I also read it over the air, but I posted it on his blog to make sure he got it. This will be followed then by his new comment. The story is updated. His new comment aimed at me directly this time. He's not just talking about me. He's talking to me. And that will be the wrinkle you have not heard yet. But anyway, here's what I put on his blog. I said, "Hi, Dan. Nice to meet you, if only over the internet. Thank you for that stern parental admonition. I won't say it's patronizing. Instead, since you obviously know so much about me based on a couple of sentences in a newspaper, without having met me, without having read any article I have written, I invite you to come on my radio show for a debate. You can call in by phone. We can bring in a moderator to see to it that we each have equal time. With your vast knowledge on tax and separation between church and state issues, compared to my apparent ignorance, this debate should be a cakewalk for you, and look how many other people you'll be able to educate. I can be contacted through my website, bobsiegel.net. On the other hand, in the unlikely event that you feel the need to prepare for such an easy confrontation, I have written an article about the subject for the San Diego Newsroom. The article was written on December 4th, 2009, and can be found in their San Diego Politics section. Hope to hear from you soon. Warmest regards, Bob Siegel." Well, of course, I never heard from him. Usually when you challenge people to debate, you don't hear from him. I didn't hear from him by email. I didn't even get a comment on my San Diego Newsroom article, although I did get a comment from another atheist who liked it, thought it was rational. I read that last week. So anyway, I was just so curious. Yesterday, I went back to his own blog. I suspected he might have said something there, and he did. Oh, how he did. Here is what Dan said. "Gosh, Bob, condescend much? I wrote a few lines of commentary based on your words to a reporter. If the reporter quoted you incorrectly, please let me know, and I can make the necessary corrections to my piece." Well, I think he's being fair at this point, but he goes on, unfortunately. He says, "Your quote, if correct, draws a parallel between a billboard on private property and a religious display on public property. That parallel, in my opinion, does not exist. If a municipality erects a religious display for the Christmas holiday season, it must make space available to all religions as well as secular organizations. Failure to do so is a violation of the Establishment Clause. Oh, really? Says who? I mean, where does the Establishment Clause tell us any of that? Anyway, Dan continues. He says, do you understand the difference between public property and private property? If you do, then you were deliberately being misleading in order to further your religious agenda. If not, might I suggest some high school classes in your area, which should suffice as a good source of basic knowledge about such things? As for your little radio show, I wouldn't bother with that even if I were being paid for the time. Well, don't worry about it, Dan. We weren't going to pay you for the time. You were welcome to come on. You're still welcome. We don't pay people to come on our show. Anyway, he continues, as for your new article in the San Diego Newsroom website, I must take issue with one of your statements. You made the following statement regarding the Constitution of the United States and our forefathers. What the Constitution meant to them is what the Constitution means, period. He says, totally, hopelessly wrong. What the Constitution means is what the Supreme Court says it means, period. Reading the minds of the likes of Thomas Jefferson may be within your abilities, but I'd like to see proof. I don't find your religion offensive. I don't find your religious symbols offensive. I find people like you offensive, Bob. Hateful, bigoted little Christians who want to be sure that they get everything that's coming to them because they're special. Now, if you read my article in the San Diego Newsroom, or my comments in the San Diego Union, or the two emails that I sent to Dan, I would challenge anybody to show me where I was hateful, where I was bigoted, where I thought I was special, where I thought that I deserve these things. Boy, it is kind of interesting because, like I said, we had another atheist read that same article, and he said, thank you for your reasonable, well-thought-out opinion. Anyway, it's interesting that two people could read the same thing, but Dan wraps up. And here again, I'm going to have to read this by avoiding landmines because he says some things that are just against FCC regulations. He says, once again, Bob, we live in a secular nation. You don't get a special pass for your religious symbols. And just for the H of it, F you, Bob, F you very much. I probably don't need to tell you what those letters stood for, do I? Okay, so I finally left it this way and I put this comment on Dan's website. Dan, thanks for explaining in such a friendly, non-condescending way that you were not being condescending, and a special thank you for the kind wish at the end. Since you are unwilling to back up any of your statements over the air, I guess that ends our discussion. It also speaks volumes. This will be my last visit to your site, although I will address your incredibly historically inaccurate statement about the Supreme Court on my show tomorrow. Listen in if you wish. You may learn something. If not, your choice. I won't be losing any sleep over it. Neither will I return to your site. Just came back on this one time because I had not heard from you about coming on the air, and I wanted to see your reasoning as to why you did not have the guts to back up your comments in a real debate. Warmest regards, Bob Siegel. Now, before I go on, I need to say something here. I certainly didn't think I was the things he was accusing me of, but I know some of you Christians, because I know how my fellow brothers and sisters think. You might say, yeah, well, Bob, you were being a little sarcastic there. Was I being sarcastic? Yes, I was, absolutely, deliberately. And I know many Christians who think a Christian should never show sarcasm. Actually, if you look at Jesus's many dialogues, particularly with the Sadducees and Pharisees, you'll see quite a bit of sarcasm. No, I'm not comparing myself to Jesus. I'm just reminding my sincere Christian brothers and sisters not to use Jesus as a reason to avoid sarcasm. Now, having said that, I do not believe sarcasm is appropriate for every occasion. And of course, Jesus didn't either. The way he talked to the woman caught in adultery was very tenderly, very warm. But when he talked to religious hypocrites, he took them down a peg. That's kind of my standard. Those who follow this radio show and those who followed my wider ministry of national public speaking and formal debate know that as a general rule, I treat those who disagree with me respectfully. And I'm not just saying this. It is the reputation I've obtained. I simply could not and would not have been invited back to as many places or led as many atheists and other skeptics to Christ if this were not true. People who write me and call me over the air know they will be treated with respect, with one exception, and it's an important one. If a person is being rude, if a person is being arrogant, I will take them down a peg. And in such cases, I really believe it's appropriate because sometimes it helps them think about what they did. It helps them ponder and take responsibility for their own actions a little more than they would if we gave the classic, oh, well, okay, brother, I still love you as unto the Lord. And so that is why I challenged Dan the way I did. Now, as I promised, I will respond to what Dan said about the Supreme Court. I doubt that he's listening, but he did read my article for San Diego Newsroom, to his credit, so who knows? Maybe he's listening, but if he isn't, I know there's a lot of you who think like Dan, so it's still an important thing to go over. Dan says once again, what the Constitution means is what the Supreme Court says it means, period. Reading the minds of the likes of Thomas Jefferson may be within your abilities, but I'd like to see proof. Well, Dan, how about the diaries written by our forefathers? How about the letters written by our forefathers? Are they proof? Now, I hope you're all paying attention to this. In my article, I mentioned that in the days of our forefathers, religious shrines were all over public land. He didn't respond to that. That, to Dan, tells us nothing about the minds of the forefathers. Neither do the diaries or letters of the men who wrote the Constitution tell Dan anything about what they really believed and what they intended. According to him, it's just impossible to know from the actual words and actual actions of our forefathers how they felt. That's impossible to know. But the arbitrary emotional interpretation of the Supreme Court, that tells us everything we need to know about Jefferson and Adams and the like. The words of our forefathers do not explain the words of our forefathers, according to Dan. But according to Dan, the words of the Supreme Court do explain the words of our forefathers. Dan's not alone. Of course, many think this way. Well, since you like the Supreme Court so much, their own building still has a religious shrine on public land. Public land. The Ten Commandments can be found in the Supreme Court building. But to anyone who thinks this court is a perfect, exclusively authoritative, unchecked understanding of our Constitution, I just have three words for you. Dred Scott decision, where the Supreme Court ruled that African-American slaves were property. Still hold that court as a supreme authority, Dan? Newsflash, nowhere in the Constitution does it say that the Supreme Court interprets the Constitution. Let me say that again. Nowhere in the Constitution does it say that the Supreme Court interprets the Constitution. Nowhere. It's not in there. The purpose of the Supreme Court is not to interpret the Constitution. The purpose of the Supreme Court is to enforce the Constitution. The interpretation tradition began when Thomas Jefferson, a newly elected president, refused to install some chief justices that the previous president, John Adams, had appointed before he left office. Since the justices were never inaugurated, Jefferson didn't feel obligated to use them. His government was sued in this landmark case called Marbury versus Madison. Originally, the court ordered Jefferson to install the judges. Jefferson ignored them. That tells us something about the authority he thought the Supreme Court had. Marbury referred to the Judicial Act of 1789 passed by Congress as a basis for the court being able to give such commands. Ironically, the court then made a different decision. It decided that such an act was unconstitutional because it gave the court more power than the Constitution intended. So even though they were sympathetic to Marbury, and even though they originally sided with Marbury, they ultimately ruled against him by calling the act of Congress he referred to as unconstitutional. But in calling an act of Congress unconstitutional, it established a tradition about the Supreme Court telling us what the Constitution intended. Gotta see the irony here. Now, here's the thing. Jefferson disagreed with the court's newfound powers, even though in this particular instance, it meant he did not have to appoint the justices he didn't want to appoint. But he still said that if this view of judicial power were accepted, it would be, and I'm quoting him, placing us under the despotism of an oligarchy. Unfortunately, this began a tradition about the Supreme Court that we never shook as a nation. And while we're on the subject, Dan, here's something else you won't find in the Constitution, the term separation between church and state. That comes from a letter Thomas Jefferson wrote the Danbury Baptist Association, assuring them that the state will not interfere with church life. We went over this last week, and we talked about how it was quoted out of context well over 100 years later by courts in the 1947 Everson versus the Board of Education case. The Establishment Clause, the First Amendment, merely says the following: Congress shall make no law respecting the establishment of a religion or prohibiting its free exercise thereof. That's it. It did not even mean we cannot put up religious shrines on public land. Now, I have a letter from another Dan. It's two Dan, so don't confuse him with the Dan I just sparred with. This Dan seems to like me just a little bit more than the other guy. This is from Dan responding to the same op-ed piece I wrote in the San Diego newsroom. He says, "Great article, Bob. Keep up the great work. As I was reading the article, the thought popped into my mind to ask you, why don't you run for public office? America is in desperate need of godly men in office. You'd do great. Take care, Dan." Well, thanks for the encouragement, Dan. First of all, actually, I don't consider myself to be very godly. I want to admit that freely over the air. Like many, I strive for it. Like many, I am aware that it can't happen without the grace of Jesus and his Holy Spirit. But I got to tell you, even with these advantages, I still fall very, very short. But I want to thank you. Now, about public office, it's impossible to answer a question like that, and I'll tell you why. Because if I say I don't want to run, isn't that what they all say when they do want to run? I categorically deny that I am choosing to run at this present time. However, I will pay attention to the voice of the American people. And if the American people want me to run, then I would be forced to consider it not for myself, mind you, but only for the American people. You see the problem? If I really don't want to run, how do I say that in a way that I sound like I mean it? Well, how about this? Dan, once again, I appreciate the encouraging words, but as for running for public office, any public office, mayor or city councilman, I can think of about a million things I'd rather do. I wouldn't even run for dog catcher, although that would give me an advantage with PETA should I ever choose to run. Seriously, in my case, I think I can be of more help through my writing, public speaking, and radio show, but I'm flattered by the suggestion, Dan. God bless. Well, before we bring on film critic Mark Booby, and let's celebrate Christmas a little more as we've been doing this month. Let's celebrate it while it's still legal. Never know how the Supreme Court might interpret things a few years from now, since they just kind of keep making this up as they go. Here is the beautiful music of Lorena McKinnitt.
In the silence of the night, when the snow lies soft and still, you can see a magic Christmas bells. For the night seems long and dark, hears the earth and his sleep, stirs the dirt, the sky above, holding in the precious key. So close your eyes and come with me. The Christmas
your own website without a lot of cost and trouble? Hi, I'm Bob Siegel, here to tell you about Web Studio. Web Studio allows people to create their own website simply and easily without knowing HTML. With Web Studio, you avoid the learning curve of front page and the expense of a web designer. Web Studio has 14 different galleries that contain graphics, sounds, and everything else you need. For more information about Web Studio, go to webstudio.com.
This is Bob Siegel. They say a man's home is his castle. So when it comes to the wiring of your house, you don't want to mess around with some unknown electrician. Instead, do what I did. Call W&S Electric Incorporated. W&S specializes in both contracting and repair. From troubleshooting to remodeling to circuit breakers and fuses, WNS takes a skilled but personal interest in your home at affordable rates. I know the owner, Wayne Klingenhofer, personally, and I can testify firsthand to his integrity. Call 619-447-8785. That's 447-8785 for WNS Electric, Incorporated, license number 480-539, WNS Electric.
We now return to the Bob Siegel Show.
Critic and short story writer. Mark, what is on your radar for this week?
Hi, Bob. I wanted to talk about some upcoming and newly released Blu-rays to get for Christmas today.
Okay, now for some of our people that aren't computer geeks or savvy in all the latest software, I know some of them are thinking, first we had VHS and then we had to convert to DVD and now I'm just fine with my DVDs. What's the difference between Blu-ray and DVD? It kind of looks like a DVD in the case anyway. Make your case. Why Blu-ray?
Okay. Well, you know what? I've been making the case for a while. The first and probably the simplest answer to that question is Blu-rays match exactly what HDTV resolution is. So when you look at a DVD, it is not the same resolution in terms of pixels as an HDTV, but when you look at a Blu-ray, it matches exactly, and it is six times more resolution than a DVD. So you do lose a lot. If you have an HDTV, you are losing a lot of the image when you're looking at a DVD on it.
Now, this is a very important thing to note. My understanding is even movies, which would be most movies ever made, that were filmed before they had the technology to do such high resolution, have been remastered. So you could watch Mary Poppins or The Sound of Music or 2001 that wasn't filmed digitally, and it'll still look better than those movies originally looked on the screen. Isn't that true?
For the most part, yes, because
that's pretty amazing.
Yeah, it is actually. That. We get to see movies better than they were originally projected because the film tends to degrade, and when you get to the theater finally, the film's probably scratched by then, and it's faded and whatnot. Whereas the digital version and the Blu-ray version in particular will hold its color, will hold its resolution, and it will not degrade over time. So when they restore a film, you do really get the best quality. Now, the other thing a Blu-ray offers is what's called lossless audio, and this is a little techie, but...
You lost me already.
Yeah.
But that's okay.
Now, I'm sure you've heard of MP3s.
Oh, I use MP3s to post my show.
There you go.
I'm not that much of a geek. I do know what an MP3 is.
Okay. Well, an MP3 is what's known as lossy, and so the quality is much lower than actual, real, full-resolution audio. And Blu-ray, that would be equivalent to what the sound is on a DVD. It's like DVDs have, like, MP3 quality sound. Blu-ray have, like, CD quality sound. Actually, even better than CD quality sound. And they have the full 5.1 or 7.1, so you have the surround sound and everything. Just like DVD has the surround sound too, but again, it is comparing a CD to a MP3, and a lot of people can hear the difference. The biggest reason is price now. Price has really come down on Blu-ray, just like it did with DVD.
What does a Blu-ray player cost now?
Now, a Blu-ray player, you can get one for $130.
That is, weren't they like... I mean, even when DVD players came out, they were like $400 at first. Yeah. Now they're like $35.
Right, they're $35. Yeah, you can get them for that cheap. But yeah, my first DVD player was $350. My first Blu-ray player was more expensive because I bought a PlayStation 3, which is one of the most common. That was $500. But now something that is equivalent, if not better quality than what the PlayStation 3 can do, that was $500 a couple years ago, is now $129, $120. And with sales, they'll even drop below $100. So price is key. And the movies themselves are, DVDs have slid down in price over the last couple of years, and Blu-ray started off much more expensive. Those are kind of dropping down to take the place price-wise that DVD took. So these are all the good reasons, but usually price is the biggest factor. And the reason I wanted to talk about these today in particular is because this year is pretty much predicted as being the year that a lot of people are buying a lot more HDTVs for Christmas, and they're going to buy Blu-ray players along with their HDTVs because, again, that is they match together.
Okay, now before you go through your list of recommended flicks, I want to just think like somebody in the audience might think, and I'm or really myself, it took me years to develop the DVD collection I have now. I'm very proud of it. I slowly replaced my VHF. So if somebody were to buy me a Blu-ray player for Christmas, hint, hint, to all my friends and family out there, am I to think that I got to now suddenly replace my whole DVD collection? Maybe I'll want to do that slowly and gradually over the years, but can I play the DVDs on the Blu-ray?
Absolutely.
And if so, do they look as good as they look on a DVD player? Do they even look better?
They actually look a little better because there's technology to kind of make them look better, but they're not going to match what a Blu-ray is.
No. But at least you don't have to feel like you have to throw the whole collection.
Right. And every Blu-ray player plays CDs too. So, you know, just like DVD players played CDs.
Okay. Now here's your special bonus question.
Okay.
Okay. So now a couple of years from now, I've replaced my DVD collection slowly and gradually. And I got my Blu-ray. What the heck are they going to come out with next to make the Blu-ray obsolete?
Actually, they are already working on that, but it's going
to
be...
And you'll go, and you're the first one to get everything. The rest of us do this kicking and screaming.
Well, the good thing about this is they're going to work it into the Blu-ray standard, so you won't have to replace. And it's actually what's coming. 3D is the next thing, and they're working on that now. Because a lot of movies now are being released in 3D. Avatar coming up this weekend... is one of the most famous new 3D movies, most anticipated.
No, I hear Avatar is supposed to be this complete revolution in what they're able to do.
Hopefully, it will be. James Cameron's been working on it, I think, like I said.
Haven't they taken it from the way things looked with the Polar Express and to the point where they can make a face look just like a human being's? I heard that's what accomplished.
Yeah, but he used a whole different company than the people that did the Polar Express.
No, those but I mean, just technologically speaking, he's taken that next leap of evolution.
Yes, and you know, they've been doing a lot of 3D. Almost every computer animated film now is 3D. So 3D is just...
Do you think that's a good thing or a bad thing for animation?
Yeah, I don't know.
It's looking that... I heard years ago that they'll start making John Wayne movies again, even though John Wayne's dead. They'll just... computer animate them, simulate his voice. Wouldn't producers love to not have to hire temperamental actors and just draw them all?
Yeah, you have to hire a temperamental actor to do the voice, though. And that's
but they'll pay
away.
Them a lot less because they'll say, you're just a voice.
Yeah, there's actually an old story from the 50s about that very thing, and an old science fiction story. And I've always found that kind of a compelling question, but we really are not going to get rid of people. We can't take them out of the equation because people are what it's all about. And so actors will always be actors. We will have things that are, I mean, even in Star Wars, there are scenes where the people are 100% digital that are close-ups. Like Obi-Wan, in one scene when he's fighting Boba Fett, he's totally digital in that scene, but you can't tell. So they can, but the actor is real. But in that scene, they don't want him hurt, and he can't fly, so they digitally do it.
Have to say this. If only they'd had neither actor nor animation for Jar Jar Binks.
Yeah, right. Yes, I agree with that. That's for sure. So anyway, Blu-ray is what I recommend to anybody, especially if you have an HDTV. Absolutely, you should have a Blu-ray player because it provides the very best experience in home entertainment that you will ever get. Not ever, but at least right now, it is the best we've ever had, and it's better than anything you would see in the theater practically these days. So that is my case, my sales pitch. How did I do, Bob?
You did very good. I want to run out and buy one, but I can't afford it, but it doesn't matter because I gave that hint already.
There you go. You've got a whole bunch of listeners. Okay, so the good news about the Christmas season is the summer blockbusters are always hit video around this time of year. So the movies that were the big hits in the summertime are now coming out. And my favorite summer blockbuster, my biggest recommendation on Blu-ray, is actually Terminator Salvation. This was really killed critically. And a lot of my friends disagree with me on this. I love this movie. I think they took it in new directions, the series in new directions. It had a lot of depth. The characters were very interesting. And you saw something totally different than in past Terminator films, where it was always, there's a Terminator, run away. That was not like that in this movie. You weren't just, you know, being chased down by a Terminator who's invincible, you actually have a whole, there's a whole war going on at this point in this film. So these are very interesting elements to the story that I really enjoyed. And in terms of it being a Blu-ray, it's absolutely astounding. The quality in terms of sound and picture is just a knockout. Like, I can see things on screen that I would not be able to see. I compared to the DVD, and you just can't see some of the stuff on the DVD that you can on the Blu-ray. And
okay, hold that thought, and we will be right back with film critic Mark Boubian, the latest Blu-ray releases, summer blockbusters available for Christmas.
How many times have you heard the phrase, "they're all the same," applied to local contractors? It is unfortunate that a few can tarnish the reputations of many, but it sure is nice when you find a contractor with godly principles. But what if they only do floors or only the painting? What if you want to build a whole new home, or you want someone to fully complete your remodel or tenant improvements? You need ProBuilt. Serving San Diego since 1987, residential and commercial, quality work completed on time. Local Christian businessman and president of ProBuilt, Jim Bell, said, "When people pay you to do a job, they simply want you to do the job. They expect quality work, and they expect it to be done on time. We do that at ProBuilt." For references and dozens of pictures of both residential and commercial work, visit our website, ProBuiltInc.com. That's ProBuiltInc.com. Or call our El Cajon office at 619-593-2965. We're fully bonded and insured. California State License Number 567925. ProBuilt.
I'd like to remind all of my listeners that The Bob Siegel Show has a sister program on our sister station, KPRZ 1210 on the dial. Every Sunday morning from 9 o'clock to 9:30, you can hear City Voice. On this provocative program, my good friend George Runyon interviews a different local Christian ministry every week. You can listen to the show while driving to church, and don't be surprised, you may find it so interesting that you'll stay in the parking lot continuing to listen and skipping those Sunday school donuts. That's City Voice with George Runyon, every Sunday morning from 9 o'clock to 9:30 on our sister station, KPRZ 1210. But right now, you're listening to KCBQ 1170. Welcome back to the Bob Siegel Show. I'm here with film critic Mark Boubian going through the latest Blu-ray releases for the Christmas season.
Hi, Bob. Thanks for having me back. And I was talking about Terminator Salvation, which I consider to be the best blockbuster of the summer and the one I certainly enjoyed the most. And it is one of the best Blu-rays I've ever seen. I have quite a few. So I'm recommending that as a Christmas present for this coming Christmas season. And Harry Potter is another recommendation I want to make. They just came out with the new Harry Potter movie that was released over the summer, Harry Potter and the Half-Blood Prince. Now, I haven't seen all the movies. I think I've mentioned this to you before.
You read all the Harry Potter books.
Yeah, I've read all the books. The problem for me is the movies feel like Cliff Notes versions of the books, and I tend to focus on what's left out versus what's actually occurring on screen.
Can you say something to the Christians in our audience who would think they should avoid Harry Potter? I even had a guest on a few weeks ago that...
Yeah, and I absolutely disagree with all Christians that think that Harry Potter is a problem.
And you're saying that as a Christian.
As a Christian.
It's important for people to know.
Now, we don't have problems with The Lord of the Rings, and we don't have problems with any of C.S. Lewis's fantasy works. We don't have problems with the Twilight series that just came out. All three of these were written by people that were Christians, the latter a Mormon, and they all involve fantasy elements. Now, the argument is that Harry Potter actually names witches, and it can draw you to witchcraft.
Well, and groups like Wicca do link to the Harry Potter site, so I do think people need to be careful.
Yeah.
But if we go back to the motivation of J.K. Rowling's, that's a little...
It is not. And we did a whole show, actually, when the last book came out, and for the people that haven't seen the last movie, haven't read the books, I'm going to throw a spoiler here.
You felt she really redeemed herself in that last book.
Well, that was my favorite book. I liked all of the books except a couple, but what happened in the end... And again, I give the spoiler warning, is that Harry is a Christ figure, and it is absolutely clear. And he's one of the best Christ figure images I've ever seen in a book that I've read, because you see redemption flow through. He is his death. He has a death and resurrection, and then that causes a magical redemption of sorts to occur to the people that he loves. Just like Christ's death and resurrection allows us a similar redemption through because of his love. So, good story. Don't avoid Harry Potter. If your kids start getting into witchcraft, that is a problem.
Avoid witchcraft. Don't avoid literature. That would
right.
be the message.
Exactly. Okay. So this is a great this is a great Blu-ray. I actually like the movie. The beginning did not feel like a Cliff Notes. It did kind of get into Cliff Notes mode for me as it progressed. But about the first 40 minutes was very, very accurate to the book, and I really enjoyed that. Now, in terms of the quality of the image you see on screen, it's a very darkly filmed movie, and the detail is very extraordinary. There's a lot of cloud movement and a lot of just very shadowy figures occurring, and this is where Blu-ray really helps a lot because you see a lot more detail, and there's a lot larger color capability on Blu-ray than there is on DVD, so that you really do benefit from this. Now, one of the new features that Blu-ray offers that has been really, really stupid up until now was internet connectivity. You can get on the internet with your Blu-ray disc in the drive. And typically in the past, it's been you can download a new documentary that they didn't put on the disc. Big deal. Who wants to do that? On Terminator and on the new Harry Potter, what they offered was what's called a chat with the people that made the movie. With the Terminator, it was with the director. With Harry Potter, it was with actually Daniel Radcliffe. And what happens is you sign up, and then on the Warner, this was Warner who did it, you sign up on their website. Then you connect your Blu-ray player. There's a little section that you navigate to on the Blu-ray with your Blu-ray in the player. So you navigate there, and then you log in, and the movie is paused when you start. You log into their site, and the person that's talking actually controls your player, and you can listen to them talk about the movie, and you have the ability to ask them questions back by a text chat. And I actually was able to ask the director of the Terminator films two questions that were answered directly by him.
And how long did it take for him to get back to you and answer
them? Well, the thing is I'm watching the movie with them. So what they do is they watch the movies and then they field questions from the people watching with them. So they actually are controlling my player.
It's an anticipated question that's going to just come back then?
Well, I missed what you just said there, Bob.
It's an anticipated question?
I actually type a question onto the website on the internet, and it goes to the people that are running it, just like a call in here while we're doing the show, for example, but it's a text chat thing. So the text I type in goes to their screen. The director is watching the movie and looking at the screen. He looks at the screen, and he says, oh, here's a question from so-and-so, and then he answers it. And it's at that point in the movie that they're watching live with me. And again, the interesting thing about this is they have fast forward, rewind, pause, play control of my Blu-ray player while they are talking. So I really am watching the movie in real life, live and in person with them. So it's a really interesting thing.
That is pretty
thing.
Amazing.
Yeah, and so I get to ask the director of the Terminator two questions. I mean, I could have asked him any questions, any number, but I had two answered.
Did you ask him if he wanted to make a movie out of one of your short stories?
I should have, yeah, right. I blew that one.
Boy, there's a ship that sailed that'll never be back.
Yeah, but I asked actually if the Christian imagery was deliberate, because I don't know if the director is a Christian. I still don't. And in the first scene, there is a very obvious the man on the cross image in the beginning of Terminator, and he actually says, we see him here in the Christ position in answer to the question I asked. So that was very great for me. Now, in the Harry Potter chat, I don't know the movie, so we have some friends. My daughter's friend really loves Harry Potter, so they had gotten the Blu-ray, and I said, hey, there's this chat thing. Why don't you try it? The daughter asked a question. Now, the Harry Potter chat was much more crowded than the Terminator, but she asked a question, and Daniel Radcliffe himself answered her question.
Wow, okay. Tell us what he said to her and what she asked when we get back. You're listening to The Bob Siegel Show with film critic Mark Boubian. This is Bob Siegel inviting you to tune in for the Rick Amato Show four nights a week here on 1170 KCBQ. Rick stays on top of the issues local and national. He also does some of the most stimulating interviews you've ever heard. That's the Rick Amato Show, Monday through Thursdays from 9 p.m. to 11 p.m. here on Intelligent Talk 1170 KCBQ. You can also find Rick on AmatoTalk.com.
We now return to the Bob Siegel Show.
Welcome back to our program. I'm here with film critic Mark Boobian. Mark, we left off. Your daughter had an opportunity to ask the director through a Blu-ray. I'll explain it again.
Yes, okay. So actually, it was my daughter's friend. They were not at my house. I was watching this is a live chat with the Daniel Radcliffe, who actually is the actor who plays Harry Potter in the Harry Potter movies. He's sitting there watching a Blu-ray. At the same time, he's in control of my player over the internet, and he's in the control of everybody else's player who's involved in this chat. And I had given the heads up to a friend of ours whose daughter really loved the Harry Potter movies, and they actually asked a question over the internet, and Daniel Radcliffe, while he's watching the movie with us, he sees the question come up, and he answered it for them. And I heard the question. Now, I'm not in the same house. They're down the street from me. I heard the question and the answer over my TV as we were watching the Blu-ray. Daniel Radcliffe, who was in actually London, we're here in San Diego. So it was a very exciting thing for this little girl to have a question addressed directly to the actor who plays Harry Potter and have him answer it in real life. I mean, how many times are you getting an opportunity like that? And, you know, I mean, he's surrounded by crazed fans whenever he goes out, so you can't ask a real question. And the question she asked was, how is Emma Watson like her character Hermione, the character she plays? And it was a very fun answer. They got to talk about Emma Watson herself and what that she's very studious like Hermione, but not quite as stressed out. So it was a really interesting thing. And this is a new feature that only Blu-ray offers, and it's all based on internet connectivity, but... I just find it a very exciting addition to the home entertainment field. So I was very excited by it, just like this little girl. You know, it was just a wonderful thing. Another movie I recommend purely for quality in terms of visual and audio capability of Blu-ray is Transformers: Revenge of the Fallen, the newest Transformer movie. I reviewed this previously. I liked it for a Michael Bay movie, but it has parts in it that are childish and embarrassing, and he tends to treat women like objects. So it's not that great of a movie for those reasons. In the DVD era, I would never recommend this, but as a Blu-ray, it's absolutely astounding. The quality of this is just great. Another great movie of the summer, the biggest critically acclaimed probably... blockbuster movie was Star Trek this year, another absolutely wonderful Blu-ray. And I saw Star Trek in IMAX. That is the only thing I can actually go see now that looks better than Blu-ray. Anytime I see a movie in a regular theater, it looks worse than my TV with a Blu-ray.
And in the regular theater, somebody's kicking your seat. So yeah. That's another disadvantage.
That's a big complaint that a lot of people have. Now, my favorite movie of the summer was not actually a blockbuster per se, but it was a science fiction film, District 9.
Yeah, I spent a lot of time talking about that.
Yes, I did.
Over the summer.
It's a wonderful movie and absolutely a must-own on Blu-ray, even if you haven't seen it, because it's such a terrific film. And they actually moved the Blu-ray release up from after Christmas to before Christmas so that it would catch the Christmas rush. And it's coming out. It's either this Tuesday or next week. But you really want to get a copy of this if you like science fiction. It is an absolutely wonderful, wonderful film. And they filmed it in high definition directly, so it will benefit from the digital filming and transfer directly to Blu-ray. Now, the other thing is classics can benefit, as Bob, you mentioned earlier in the show, classics benefit from Blu-ray. They can restore older films, transfer them to Blu-ray. North by Northwest is one that had just come out.
Alfred Hitchcock, wonderful Alfred movie. Hitchcock.
Absolutely. One of his, my favorite of his. You know, I had always seen him as sort of a horror director because of Psycho when I was a kid. And when I watched this film the first time,
yeah,
I was
blown away.
That was
more of a spy thriller, wasn't it?
Yeah, it is. It's a total thriller. It's a great movie. And action movies today mimic a lot of the things we see in this film. So it really has had an effect over the ages. And it looks great. I mean, again, it's not going to look... It never looked this good in a theater, probably, when it was shown. It looks so good. The restoration is great. It's all, and it has a vintage look. You can tell it's an older movie. It's got that vintage quality, but it still just looks and sounds wonderfully. And it's just a movie I cannot help but recommend. And it's a special edition. It actually, the box is a book, so it's got some nice quality to the. You know, you open it up and immediately you can start thumbing through the page. It's a really fun release. Another classic is Wizard of Oz, which
on my top 10 list of movies of all time, that is in the second place, actually.
There you go. Well, it deserves that spot because it's such a wonderful film. I can't, you know, how can I wouldn't even consider reviewing this film because it's just such an absolute classic.
By the way, have you read the Wizard of Oz books?
No, my daughter hasn't liked them.
They're very different from the movie.
And that's what she says, exactly.
Extremely profound. You should at least read. I've read only the first two, but of course, the first one's even called The Wonderful Wizard of Oz. It's not even called The Wizard of Oz. That name was for the movie.
Yeah, that's very interesting. I think maybe it had the same people that saw the movie, and I remember seeing documentaries on it, how they had a lot of trouble adapting it to film because they were going to have to cut so much.
Well, it was designed to be a satire on American politics, and some of the lines from that idea that survived were the Scarecrow saying, "Some people without brains do a lot of talking," or the Wizard saying, "I'm a very good man, I'm just a very poor wizard." Those lines are in the book, but for the most part, the book's completely different.
Yeah.
Just a whole different story. I'd really love to see you read that and review the books sometime.
Yeah, and sometimes that's a good way to go because, you know, like I said, with the Harry Potter, I'm drawn out of the movies because I've read the books and they're trying to mimic the books. But they're still good movies. It's not that they're bad movies. It's just that I can't connect with them because I've read the books. So Wizard of Oz would be something... Excuse me, I could probably read.
Well, there's about 30. He wrote about 30 Oz books, but at least I would at least read the first two, The Wizard and the Land. They're considered the best of the series.
Oh, okay. Now, there's an interesting thing about Wizard of Oz. There was a scene on VHS. People were saying that one of the film crew was actually had wandered onto the set and is in this one scene after they find the woodsman or the lion. I can't remember which, but. So on VHS, it does look like a very shadowy person in the background who's standing up. On the DVD, it looks kind of like it might be a bird. On the Blu-ray, it's absolutely obviously a crane that is black and white. And you can see it clearly in the frame.
So why didn't they just take that out for the Blu-ray? They wanted it because of authenticity?
No, it's not a person. It's a bird. It always was a bird.
Oh, you mean they intended it to be in the movie?
Yeah, it's just a bird on the stage.
What am I talking about? That was all done on an indoor sound stage. Yeah. Could a crane have flown in?
Right. Yeah, it's just standing there as part of
the that film. Mystery up.
But the point I'm making here is that as the quality of what we're seeing on our TV screens has gotten better, we can really tell with this one particular scene in this movie, it's become very obvious over the years the increase in technology has really benefited the film because now we can tell it's a bird, it's not a person. And you couldn't tell that even with DVD. So that's a sign and maybe part of my sales pitch for Blu-ray that I started earlier that Blu-ray is a really wonderful format because you can really see a lot more of the films that you're watching. And there's that quality does really, if done right, the films will definitely benefit from that. Gone with the Wind, yet another classic. Not a movie that I really enjoyed very much. Not something I connected with very much. But Bob, I believe that's one of your favorites. Is that right?
It's not on my top 10. It's an excellent movie. Kind of melodramatic because of the ways it was.
Yeah.
When it was, Ashley, I'll never love anyone but you. But a wonderful story. And I mean, it's not a kind of movie I would watch as often as a lot of my favorites. But I could just objectively recognize it as being very well done.
Yeah, right. And that's, again, a new Blu-ray that's great.
Okay, you've got about 30 seconds.
Okay,
something else.
Let me push Sleeping Beauty. I think I mentioned this on the Rick Amato show. This is absolutely
best animated movie of all time.
Best, and it's like owning a work of art when you own it on Blu-ray. And it is so much better than the DVD. It is absolutely beautiful. These are only out for a limited time, so go out and get a copy. Even if you don't own a Blu-ray player and you like this movie, get it now before it goes on moratorium because it'll be gone for 10 years.
Okay, Mark, let's have you on, I know, early in January, sooner than you usually come back to do some of the rest of these because I know you got a lot more to say. We'll have you back real soon.
Wonderful.
We'll see you next week, everybody.
Thank you for listening to The Bob Siegel Show. The views and opinions are solely those of the host and guests and do not necessarily represent KCBQ or its sponsors. The Bob Siegel Show was brought to you in part by the Law Office of Thomas Pinkerton, helping infertile families have children. Tom Pinkerton would like to invite you to help Bob expand his radio program by donations or sponsorship. For more information about Bob's ministry, go to www.bobsiegel.net. Here, you can read Bob's articles and get information about Bob's books. That's Bob Siegel, SIEGEL.net.